us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go. Gresh and Fourier.
On WEEI.
11:03, it's Gresh and Fourier. We're into hour two. 2 days, 8 hours, and 56 minutes away from the draft. We're headed there this afternoon. We will be broadcasting from Detroit on tomorrow. And then Thursday, we have a short show, but then we'll be doing some stuff maybe from the draft. I don't know. We got to connect with Keith on all that and sort of – well, we got to go out there and get the lay of the land, really, is what it is, number one. But
let's go exploring.
I'm sure that you or I or both of us at some point will jump in on the Big Rich Keith draft party that'll be happening here at WEEI as the first round is going on. And then we'll be there Friday, and then we're leaving before the second round begins.
Yes.
Yeah, where the Patriots sit at number 34, and South Carolina wide receiver Xavier Leggett has told someone that he did an interview with that the Panthers have essentially told him if he's there at the top of the second round, that they're going to take
it. I was wondering, like, I saw that also. I was like, well, do you really want to say that? And how, like...
Do you want to hear it? Because it's short.
I've heard it. Oh, we have it? Oh,
no,
yes.
We do. Yeah, here is Xavier Leggett, South Carolina wide receiver.
What have your interactions been like with the Carolina Panthers?
I've been with the Panthers about 4 or 5 times. The relationship just keep continuing to grow. And they really hoping that I can make it to that second round. And they keep on telling me, man, that if I'm sitting at 33, they're going to take me.
Well, that's the new owner syndrome still.
So stupid.
And first-time head coach. Because remember that Dave Canales guy came out of nowhere to get the job.
That's right.
Because he had one good year as a coordinator in Tampa.
He has a better history. He's more credible than Bill. Better with people. He can relate to the youngins, right?
There's a guy in the 508 who sends in every day, Bill's never coaching again. It's like, okay, buddy.
I do wonder, I want to pay attention to this particular player for this particular team just to see if he is available. Because how do they know? Maybe there's another guy that they like more, and holy crap, we didn't know he was going to – yeah, we said that before we knew this guy would be available.
Mm-hmm.
Now this guy's available. It's like, oh, let's go get that guy.
I think there's definitely an element of that.
He's going to hold a grudge against the Carolina Panthers every time he gets to play against
them.
And then he comes here. You said you picked me.
Right. You SOBs. You left me hanging.
I was better off without it, but I'm still going to make you pay.
You left me hanging to pick 33 or 32 or whatever it is. So there is that out there. And then there is this from Tony Pauline. Now, again, Tony Pauline has been a long-time coverer of the NFL draft. He just happens to work for a place in Sports Kita that is very clickbaity and, well, I mean, people can quibble with the way they handle their business on their own, but Pauline wrote a big draft column yesterday. And one of the things that he wrote was, who will the Patriots target if they trade down? And he talks about how Elliott Wolf said they were open for business. According to Tony Pauline, one well-placed source told me he was convinced the team would move down. As mentioned in my article yesterday, word at the Combine, Patriots covered Jaden Daniels. Further word was that the team would look to trade down from the third pick if Daniels is not available. So in Indianapolis, the belief was that the Patriots could not select Daniels. They would trade deep into round one and go with Michael Penix Jr. Pauline wrote, as of last week, the belief in the league is that should the Patriots make a trade with a team such as the Vikings or the Broncos, they would lean towards selecting Penix in the middle of round one. And then Pauline wrote, my opinion, another team will have to overpay for the Patriots to move out of the third pick and pass on a quarterback, which is the owner's desire. The word is out, ladies and gentlemen. What do you make of a trade down with Penix factoring in?
Listen, if I'll go back to the whole Elliott Wolf press conference, if they like all the quarterbacks from 1 to 6, then what does it matter if you have the 5th guy or the 6th guy? What does it matter if you have the ability to get the 5th or the 6th guy because you feel like they can all play and you like them all equally? Well, then trade out of the pick and then go get one of the other guys if you're truly convinced that that person is just as good as the other guy.
But what if the top collaborator don't want that?
You're going to have to. I do wonder, like, if a trade like that does come up, you're really going to have to force the issue. You're going to have to be – you're really going to have to sell it.
So here you go. Under the previous administration, if there was a trade on the clock, do you think Bill Belichick turned to Robert and Jonathan or felt like, more importantly, he had to turn to them and say, what do you guys think? When the phone call comes in, who do you think whomever is on the phone turns to first? I think I know.
Well, hold on.
See, I think it's the two guys at the top of the masthead who grab control.
Has Robert Kraft been in the draft room? So we always see him.
They always do
also.
Because normally it will be, or normally it kind of went Bears, Bill, Robert. There would normally be the photo of the in the draft room, the.
Or grow, or
right, or normally it would be, you know, hey, Cole, we're really happy to have you here in New England. I'm gonna give you back to Bears.
I've heard you're a really good catch,
right? Yeah, not so much, not like the way it goes down in Indianapolis. Hey, Quinn, man. Yeah, none of that. But they're in the room. But again,
he's not even gonna be around. But
this is different. It's the trade stuff because. Bears should be the one who, on the whole, would be like getting the call or whatever. Is that Robin? And then when the info comes in, this is the way I perceived it based on the way the Crafts and everybody reacted when Bill left. Oh, the big bad wolf was in the room. He never talked to us. He never got our opinion or anything like that, unless he had to or placated us or something like that. And then whenever the call would come in on a trade, it would be, well, it's going right to Bill, and here we go. We'll talk about it, and we'll make the decision. Now the call comes in. Who does Elliot Wolf turn to? Does he turn to Gerard Mayo? Does he turn to Robin Glazer?
Really weird.
Or does he feel like he has to say, Jonathan, here's what they just told me?
Okay, what do you think is more important? Do you think it's more important for ownership to make sure everybody knows that, because you really, you know, Gerard Mayo deserves to be known as the guy in charge, not just some placeholder, not just some guy that used to play for the team that's a safe, you know, pick.
That's very fair.
So, you know, it's important for you as the owner to make sure that everybody knows who's in charge. So I wonder what's more important. Their involvement, being heavily involved and being, you know, in the picture and like a Jerry Jones, hey, sitting at the head of the table, okay, go. Like nobody moves until he points his finger, then they go and then now pick up the phone. Now give me the phone first. Hey, we're about to draft you. Because that's really the key is you, as a prospect, you get the call before they announce it.
Of course.
Hey, listen, we're about to take you, okay? Just be ready.
And Twitter spoils it.
Yeah, and Twitter's, because I remember that was so cool. I remember getting a call. And then go, okay, everybody run to the TV. They're about to call my name. And then and then they went to commercial.
There you go. And then Chris Berman didn't say all the nice things. I think to sort of land on and I want to get to the Penix piece of it, but on the whole Kraft part of it, that's the real fear, is that there will be a first-time owner syndrome that will be factored into this. Because even as you were saying it on how Gerard Mayo deserves to know who's in charge, da-da-da, well, it's pretty evident that we know it's not him in personnel. And the guy who's running the draft does not have the title. I have been told subsequently since January 15th that titles matter. So there'll be two people in that room, maybe three, with real titles in the jobs that they hold. One's an owner, one's the president, one's the head coach. How do we think the decisions are really going to be made?
I guess I'm just a little too naive, but I can't dismiss that their presence is
the mere presence
just
where they now have say.
Yeah.
Again, there was a man in the room who was willing to, should I go as far as say ignore? So I don't think they were ignored. but they weren't heard? Or
I think there's a lot of eye rolling. What would you label? How would you label that? What's another way to label eye rolling?
Oh, they're
in the building.
No, but
it's
placating. Yeah.
There you go.
They placate. No, there's no. Now here's what you know. Hey, so like Matt Patricia said one time, you know, can you sit up a little bit? Can you respect the process here, please? Can you sit up? That's what it's going to be. He's going to walk in the room and get everybody's going to sit up. Ready to go, boss? Here we go. Draft night, baby.
Okay, so I have an example
of
how things get out of control. Okay, and how ownership determines, I guess, how they pick their favorite, you know, player. Their pet cat is.
I also love how we've blown right by Penix. He's not a factor. We're not even willing to talk about
it. No, I am. I am going to talk about it. He's part of it.
Oh, all right.
Oh, he's part of it. Yeah, okay, because there was this – he wrote this big article in the Athletic, right? A lot of these prospects are writing their own – I don't even know what it is. It's like a
– it's like a firsthand account of whatever they're going through. I think the Players' Tribune was kind of built for that as well.
Oh, yeah, it was the Players' Tribune. Yeah, not the Athletic. It was the Players' Tribune. I forgot about that. So let me just – because imagine if you're Robert Kraft. And you're looking, and I think he's sincere with the type of players that he wants. He wants upstanding, you know, high character guys. He wants thoughtful guys, tough guys. He wants guys that, you know, he wants to kind of be moved and influenced by them, right? He wants to be inspired in a way, right? And I think that is truly because they're not watching film. Okay, so they are literally making decisions based on sound bites, articles written. They don't sit there with the clicker and rewind. Let me see that Oregon State game again. Let me go back to see how did he play in Indiana? Heard this guy's hair. Let me show me how he responded. Okay. So just real quickly, here's a quick little line from this article. And I wanted to I thought there was a Hardo of the Day line in here. You tell me after I read it to you.
Oh,
if
brother.
You would. I really was really tempted to put him on Hardo of the Day, but okay, but we just don't put anybody on there. I says, truth is. Because they were talking about his injuries and his whole, you know, journey. Truth is, I'd be more worried if I had never been injured. We don't all come back the same. I know the storms I'm prepared to weather. For most people, that be the end of their story. But there's more to my story, and I own every page of it. So I have no problem talking about all the MRIs and x-rays that you ask of me. Truth is... It's an EKG that will tell you everything you need to know about me. Did you notice the Hardo of the Day like line there? Did you pick up on anything that may be Hardo-ish?
There were two lines. There's more to my story, and I own every page of it. And then it's an EKG that will tell you everything about me. Okay. Sounds like a rap line.
Yeah,
and
no, like but so I'm gonna say. No, he doesn't even hit the scale because he's politicking right now.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to pump himself up.
But if you're Kraft and you read this and you look at him playing in the postseason of college football and you look at his record, you see him beat Oregon twice and everybody tells you everything. You look at his arm and you look at, holy cow, this is the guy we need. Why aren't we drafting this guy? Nobody is deep, and he reminds me of that one time when Brady came up to me and said, this is the best decision you ever made, and who knew it was?
And you know what the answer is to that? That's where you then go to the film.
But you are not watching film because you own the team. You let somebody else do it.
But he also isn't going to – Jonathan Kraft would not go to area scout for the West for that answer. He would go to Elliot Wolf. It'd be a little different in terms of the level of engagement of the person giving the answer to the owner.
Okay, so now if they're all the same, from 2 to 6, if they're all the same, and then Kraft heard this, and they says, well, okay, if you can tell me you can win with any of those 5, I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way he thinks. This guy's a winner.
Well, and that might be the level of specificity that could get us twisted. When RKK said it was, I want us to come away with a top flight quarterback. With Jonathan, it might be a little more, I like that guy. And that's the difference between the two.
And I think that's all it takes. I'm honest. I feel like that's
right.
All it takes is wow, look at this guy. And they're all doing it.
And you know what it takes? A comment as innocuous as this. Good, Drake's there. Seriously. Oh, good. Drake's there, number three. If they were all like dogs crapping peach seeds around Belichick and afraid to go to him, my God, he doesn't listen or talk to us. Are they going to jump up and say, hey, boss, this, we don't want your guy. That's close. That's flying too close to the sun, I think. It's a two for Tuesday. We got Red Sox Cubs tickets coming up at the bottom of the hour. But are NBA players, Fourier, putting officials on notice, or are they just taking rides in the Wambulance after games? We'll judge next.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Grish and Fourier on WEEI.
Tell you what, if you're a better, if you're a gambler, you feel like there might be some sabotage, let it breathe.
It is the instrumental because Spotify broke literally 15 seconds before we came back.
Well, that's not a surprise. And I would dare argue with a lot of people. I know the days of the music video has gone by. Like we don't flip on MTV to watch videos anymore or anything like that. But I would dare say Sabotage by the Beastie Boys might be the best music video ever done. It's absolutely fantastic. What were you going to say there? What are you going to go, aha, take on me with the pulling the guy through the...
Sabotage is your favorite?
No. I said...
The video.
No. I said it is the greatest music video. I would argue with people it's the greatest music video ever made. It's awesome. It's hilarious for the song. And it really taps into that other side of the humor of the Beastie Boys. Because a lot of people look at like the ones that were major motion picture productions, like Michael Jackson Thriller. That was like 20 minutes on a movie set, for God's sake.
Still.
No, but it's amazing. But I don't know. Sabotage is just, it hits perfectly. It's absolutely fantastic.
Hmm.
The problem is, most people past 2000 have not seen a music video.
They still make them. I was growing up.
They make them, but it doesn't mean people are like actively watching them.
No,
it's one of those things now. A lot of people getting famous like on YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube still has videos. There's just no music video channel.
There you go.
MTV's still a thing, but they don't pride themselves on music videos. It's now YouTube that's, you know, where you get your videos.
Like it used to be, Madonna's new music video is dropping at 10 o'clock at night because it's risque.
Michael Jackson's run when the Dangerous album came out, they interrupted like Fox. Like Fox, MTV, VH1 all debuted like the black and white video, Remember the Time video, and there might have been a third one in there that like a regular network television station took their time to show.
I mean, it's amazing when you think about how that is a part of the music business where you gotta, like, now you have to seek it out. Whereas if I were zapping through the channels and I heard Sabotage and I'm like, oh, is this the video? It's a fantastic music.
Like, guys my age, when we were younger, like, you would come home from school and you would throw on MTV.
Oh, no doubt.
It'd be the first thing you do, because then at like 3 o'clock, TRL was on, and that was like the top 10 videos of the day.
Yep, and you could, I would also make the mad rush home to try to catch the last of the cartoon block as well. Like, could I get me a Tom and Jerry or a Droopy cartoon in before, 3 o'clock or something?
Right, getting home from school and remembering that Saved by the Bell on TBS was starting at 4:05. Remember TBS shows started
on 05s? Yep. That was a brilliant move because it bought you time. Same for World Championship Wrestling, 6:05 TBS Saturday night.
This is going to be a horrible list, but I'm going to read it to you anyways.
So this
because
is
because I'm so disgusted at what I even see the list is, because I went to, you know, top music videos of all time. So Rolling Stone put together a list. You probably never even heard this song before. It's from Beyonce, and the song is called Formation. That was their number one video.
Hold on. Is that Beyonce or Destiny's Child?
No, Beyonce, solo act. She was too good for Destiny's Child.
Well, that's true. But
so Formation was number one. Johnny Cash, Hurt. Okay. That was a remake
of... Old man sitting at a table.
That's it.
Depressing is what it is.
Yeah, very depressing. Oh my God, this list sucks. I'm telling you, it's horrible.
So then,
Madonna,
why are you reading
the only
it?
Reason lists
Madonna,
made.
Vogue. This is Rolling Stone. You would think that they would.
Living
they
on
would
a
know
prayer
music.
Was a better video
no,
than
you
Vogue.
Know what it is. Vogue.
Hold
was,
on.
Vogue is the whole sex sells. We even have some texters jumping in at 37937 on that.
Wait, what?
Like the whole sex sells thing. Like I made the joke about the whole Madonna video. And, ooh, we have to air it at night because it's
okay.
risque.
Here is your. Okay, you'll be happy though. Because I'm going to read you to six, okay? Because
what number was Formation?
Formation was one.
Okay, because I'm watching it now, and it's Beyonce in a very deep-cut shirt, so I'm not actually surprised.
Oh, okay, so it's more about
but get in line. Like, you can find that.
No, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I'm with you, Billy. Good
so Lord. Vogue, I guess, fine. It was like, whatever. It was like hip in the day.
All right.
Childish Gambino, This Is America.
Good song.
I don't mean... Don't even know what it is.
I like
I've never seen the video.
Childish Gambino is good, but Adult Gambino is even better.
New Order, The Perfect Kiss.
The Perfect Kiss?
Have you heard of New Order? Is anybody, have you ever heard of New Order? I don't even know this. Okay, fine.
What,
number
have, what
six.
Have you found?
Number six.
I didn't realize
hold
making
on.
A statement
number
about
six.
Sabotage.
It's a list from 2007.
Lee. Number six.
Okay.
Beastie Boys, Sabotage.
I'm telling you, it's a great, yeah, it's a great video.
How about the, oh yeah.
So we got a I'm smoking crack on that take sent
oh, yeah.
in. Sabotage is a great music video. Somebody said it wasn't even the Beastie's best video of the songs off Paul's Boutique at Better Videos. Some people say Smells Like Teen Spirit, Nirvana best music video of all time. Not so sure
Guns
about that.
Guns N' Roses, November Rain.
The problem is, am I getting the short or long version of that?
November Rain?
Yeah, there's a...
Well, November Rain's up there, then Thrill's up there, because they're both 4 days long.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that they're their own, like, major motion
Slash
pictures.
Walks out of a church and starts playing a solo.
Like, honest
Who
to God.
Didn't want to marry a girl in a wedding dress like Stephanie Seymour had, with the short front and the long back?
You're
like,
you're going all Tawny Kitaen on me now, back yeah. in the days of Whitesnake?
Yep. Yeah, and then when you look at, like,
until
Axl
dragged
Rose
by-
now, you're like, holy cow, Stephanie Seymour, she dodged a bullet.
Until dragged by my wife, Whitesnake was the only concert I'd ever gone to at the old Pittsburgh Civic Arena in 1987. I was, like, 13, maybe 14 years old. And I had no cell phone.
Is that when you pulled the all-nighter?
I got home at 4 in the morning, and my old man was there with a belt in his underwear. Just whooping my ass.
I don't know if that's how it works.
No, it isn't, but I'll tell you what. You know what
I didn't know his underwear had
no.
belt loops.
Yeah, you know what? It was in his hand. He was doing the, you know, like when your old man
yeah, snap him.
Snap the belt. Oh, yeah. Did you ever get the belt snap? When your old man would take the belt, crack
it, was
it like that?
It was
that?
A police-grade belt.
Okay,
okay?
So
it was
there
like
you go.
4 inches
still
thick.
Had a gun on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
Still had all the
Christian
gadgets
got,
attached
I
to
got
it.
Whooped with a belt. Christian got billy clubbed by his old man.
I was like, can you at least take the holster off the belt loop, please?
The nightstick on
yeah,
there. A
yeah,
gun
it's
on
like
there,
all these
spray on there. Hand
yeah,
just beating him with a 15-pound belt.
That yeah, instead. Surprised I didn't get a wrench. Oh my God!
One day I got like the worst spanking of my life, and sure enough, we had to go to the mall to get some shoes, and I purposely wore the shortest shorts I could find.
Are we even allowed to talk about this? Like, I feel like our dads. What? How old your pops? My old man's like 73
yeah,
or four,
close to 80.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're gonna get canceled because their sons talked about how they got whoopings as
you know
kids.
What? As a joke, I should send child services to my dad's house.
Your dad would
I
laugh his
send
ass
it
off
and be like, and just like
he just. Be like, get
sorry, sir, we're here to check to kind of arrest you for what?
Yeah,
he can't even get out of his lazy boy.
My old man would.
We heard you. You used your police utility belt to spank and punish your child.
The 413. I'm 52. I remember the belt snap from the top of the stairs like it was yesterday. That's true. My old man would. If they knocked on the door, my old man would be like, "Hey, you want to see the belt I did it with?"
I tell you what,
he wouldn't care.
Would that be a cruel joke? If
no,
I did
it wouldn't.
That?
My old man would be like, "Get that."
Child
man
services, because child services out there would probably be. They're probably in their 20s or something like that.
Well, yeah,
hi, sir.
Plus,
you know, we're
my
talking
parents
about
live in South
a spanking,
Carolina.
You gave your son back in 1982.
That's right. When you
yeah, he deserved it.
When you whipped your kid after he stayed out too late and he puked all over the love seat because
right,
he got anxious.
Wasn't even born when the beating happened.
Yeah, seriously. Honest to God. All right, anyway, we are late for some Two for Tuesday here. Let's get to it.
What is it?
It's a Two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday.
That's gross.
Somebody just said the worst was when you accidentally hit you with the buckle. Oh, that did hurt too. Anyway, Caller 9 to the contest line at 617-931-0937. A pair of tickets. See the Red Sox take on the Cubs this Saturday. 617-931-0937. Caller 9 gets those pair, or gets this hour's pair. We'll have another pair next hour for you at 12:30. Tom Curran will join us at noon to talk about everything Patriots. And Fourier, did you happen to hear?
Oh, I'm looking at Child Protective Services.
Oh, here we go. Well, you do that.
3 hours behind. Just heads up.
He's trying to get.
To get him right when they get up in the morning, when they least expect it.
They won't do it because you have an outstanding traffic ticket.
No, he
wants the cops outside when his dad goes out to get the newspaper.
Yeah, because he still does.
Old man Fourier gonna get arrested in his robe, Tony Soprano style.
Yeah, right. And meanwhile, he stared at. Meanwhile, Fourier's old man's like, "What are you a holes doing here?" Can hear it now. Just be like, I'm not blinking. Then he calls you.
It'd be a terrible joke, but I feel like it has to happen.
It really would be. Mama Fourier.
We need you to answer for these. And we have dates and pictures.
You would need to do 20 Hail Marys or something like that. All right. So as we give away these tickets, did you hear LeBron James after last night's close win by the Nuggets? It's on a Jamal Murray shot. They win by two. But of course, there was some shoddy officiating down the stretch. LeBron was not happy.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't ask you a question, but that is like... And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game, too. What are we doing?
Ooh. Wow. Okay. So you had LeBron, who is blasting officials after games. We know that the Philadelphia 76ers, they ended up losing to the Knicks in a little bit of a controversial fashion. Nick Nurse, the coach, was apparently trying to call a timeout. There was some missed calls, let's say, down the stretch. And Joel Embiid, after the game, had some stuff to say.
Joel, did you think you guys had set aside a few doubles of foul? Did you think you guys had gotten a timeout in?
Yes, we did. I mean, everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself, including Nico, coach on the sideline. But they didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, like I said, that's unacceptable.
Well, here's the thing. Now, either you want them to call it every last thing, or you want them to let you guys play through it. Which one is it?
So you think this is a little bit of the selective persecution of the officials by the stars because it didn't go their way?
Well, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. But if you want to call it, just use a timeout example.
Okay.
Nick Nurse is trying to get a timeout. Mm-hmm. Do what Spoelstra does. Run onto the court. To take their legs out like a soccer player would. Do whatever you can do. I bet you Joe Mazzulla is jumping on somebody's back. Like, literally hitting him over the head. Call a timeout. You can't, Nick Nurse was barely, it was he wanted to kind of call timeout.
He was half and half.
It was make up your mind.
He wasn't demonstrative on the, hey, I need a timeout or run. He said he turned toward the ref and got ignored.
And that I have a hard time believing. Was the ref not looking at you? Was he not staring at you?
The ref was near him, but you're right. It was kind of a sort of a half-ass attempt at calling a timeout. It wasn't the definitive, you see screaming in the face of the ref or something like that.
I called timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me.
Why would he do that?
Right.
Honest to God, now do they have the whole pool report for refs? I know they do it in the NFL. They do it in hockey. They give you a detailed explanation of everything.
You know what? I don't think there is a pool report, but I know there is that it's the two-minute report the last 2 minutes. So that's when you'll end up really kind of finding out what the league thinks or what they thought about it. But is this the beginning of what will become the side story of the NBA playoffs?
I feel like it always is. Don't you feel like it always is? There's always some team, and that's the part that I kind of love about it. It just gets hectic. It gets chaotic. Even in that Denver game, like the Jamal Murray with the last shot. They don't call timeout. They just play through it. I was like, this is amazing. That game was unreal.
Well, I'm used to the occasional player, but really it's more coaches that work the officials.
And don't they get fined, though, too?
Oh, yeah.
So the players don't get fined.
No, I think the players do if they go in. Like, I'm sure LeBron.
So LeBron should get fined.
I would.
Why do we have a replay center?
Yeah, I would think that LeBron might hear from the league or that there would be some kind of fine. But normally, it's kind of the coaches that are working the officials or setting them up for the next game. Hey, they didn't call this. You hope to get the call the next time out.
Basketball is also the only sport where fans look at who the ref is. It's like, oh, it's a Zach Zarba game. The Celtics are 4-whatever with Zach Zarba. Oh, it's Tony Brothers. They're whatever with Tony Brothers.
But they do it with umpires, too.
Really? When's the last time you looked up an umpire on a Red Sox game? I know I haven't.
When you know you have a bad ump, who's Angel Hernandez? Like, whenever that guy's on there, they're you don't think certain teams or certain players have issues with certain umps?
No, Angel Hernandez stands out. But to Nick's point, if I'm handicapping an NBA game, looking at the officials is much more critical to the handicapping of an NBA game than it is the umpiring of a big league baseball game.
But don't we do
it?
We do this in football too, though. Every time there's a football game, you look at the crew that is doing the game, how many PIs they throw, are they, how
But the general fan's not looking at, you couldn't name out anybody outside of Steratore's kid who is doing or
no, my it's like, not. That's not my point. Is that we do pay attention to the refs in football. Like every time that lineup, that crew is released, who's in charge? Well, what are they prone to call? Do they do more holding? Do they let you get away with a lot?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think fans dig into the officials in the NFL the way the players do.
So the players could give a crap about.
Well, no, the refs but ultimately, at the end of the day, that's why I wonder if these comments end up creating a bigger story, because if it were Nick Nurse and Darvin Ham, whoever's the coach of the Lakers now, right? If they say it, it's out there. But the fact that LeBron and Embiid said it both right after the game, MVP caliber players, that's why I wonder if these words carry more weight.
Okay, and I know we got to break in a second, but here's what I think should happen. So game three, it will be in L.A. If I'm head of officiating, the crew that did the Denver LA game is not doing game three. If any ref has what we would all consider a bad call, a missed call, a bad game, that ref would not be able to do the next game for the same two teams, because human nature, if the guy knows that he messed up, he would lean towards paying it back for the team that he screwed.
Big makeup call.
Okay. And because I feel like those are real. So to avoid makeup calls, you cannot call the next game no matter what. If you screw up, I'm not letting you call the next game, because you're just going to try and, like, the pendulum's going to swing the other way.
The 5-6-1. We don't look up the umpires because the Red Sox suck.
They're not the worst in the league, everybody.
13-10 right now.
Okay, game at 6-10 today.
They're off to a good start.
Don't jinx them.
Better than
just
we,
nobody get hurt. They can't anybody get hurt.
Better than we thought. We will talk to Tom Curran at noon about everything Patriots and Jonathan Kraft's involvement in everything, but the Lunchtime Parlay is next.
You're listening to Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
All right, let's get you some winners. We are up $296 on the old Lunchtime Parlay. It is presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of WEEI. Hold on 1 second, please.
Oh, he's got the chain. Wow, how did you hide that?
Shame.
Oh,
shame.
Yeah,
shame.
Where is it? Hold on. Let's make sure you got it.
There you go. Here. There you go. Anthony Davis. How's that? There it is right there. Could you see that middle? Oh, you could see it on Twitch. Sorry about that. Yeah, I got the anchor chain because freaking Jamal Murray hits the shot, doesn't go to overtime. And I think Anthony Davis had like two assists in the first half for you. And I'm thinking, oh, this will hit. This is great. And I didn't look at the rest of them to see that they came in. So the Blue Jays won by more than a run and a half. Dylan Cease went over 7.5 strikeouts. Embiid got over 29.5, although he looks like he's about to fall apart.
He may not make it.
He may not make it. That was rough. But he got over the 29.5, and I had Anthony Davis over 2.5 assists. Ended up with two. God damn. Anyway, that would have been another win that would have pushed us into the 400s of dollars of profitability.
That's a big number, too.
Yeah, very
big winning number.
Yep, very much so.
Well, today's isn't bad either.
Well, no, today is pretty good. And we're back up on that horse once again. I know this number slid down a little bit from 226.5 to 224.5. But I'm going to go with the Bucks and the Pacers under the 224.5. I know there's a lot of question as to exactly what are the Bucks right now. I know Tyrese Halliburton didn't play great last time out. So anyway, I'm just going Bucks Pacers under 224.5. Last night, I think both NBA games went under. The unders have been hitting a lot so far in the playoffs, I do believe. But anyway, I'm going under Bucks Pacers. Billy, what do you have, Fred?
All right, we're going baseball. The Mets are in San Francisco to play the Giants. So I'm taking the Mets and Luis Severino on the money line against the Giants.
Ooh, complete with Stick'em slathered all over his neck. Yeah, that'd be great. Chicken Nick, what do you got?
Also going baseball with my World Series pick again, the Orioles. Grayson Rodriguez is on the mound for the Orioles tonight. And Griffin Canning for the Angels. Griffin Canning.
Who?
Terrible. 0-3 with an 8 ERA. The Sox got to him twice. That's how bad he is.
That's not the guy who helps us with engineering when we're on
a
remote.
That's different Griff.
Oh, okay.
But Grayson Rodriguez, every time he's pitched, the Orioles have covered the run line. So give me the Orioles on the run line tonight against the Angels.
I'll tell you what, Chicken Nick has done very well for himself. And I'm noticing a theme.
A winning theme?
No.
I just rotate between like the same four things.
Bingo. Yeah, it's either the hockey game du jour with maybe the Red Wings mixed in, or you are doing the anti-Fourier.
Yes.
Fourier would pick the Pistons and pick on them. You're going the other way.
Favorite.
You're going with an actual good team.
Yes.
And you're going with them in the Orioles, and you have a bunch. And it's worked. And
listen,
now, finally.
It works for him. That's all that matters.
Oh, and now, flip-flopping. flip-flopping for you.
No. Real easy. The last time Tanner Houck played against the Guardians, had an unbelievable game. He had 9 strikeouts. Had the, everybody's calling the, played a complete game, and it was really, really quick. So, again, here he is getting to start again against the Guardians. So I'm going to take the over at 4.5 strikeouts. So he had 9 last time. I just wonder, like, even if they kind of self-correct, okay, it's still, you can't give me 5? Give me 5 strikeouts last time he had 9. You can give me 5, can't you?
Tanner Houck over 4.5 strikeouts. The Orioles on the run line, laying the 1.5 against the Angels. The Mets on the money line, and then the Bucks and the Pacers under 224.5. Your $10, ladies and gentlemen, will win you $157.54, and hopefully we'll be able to get this list of picks up on social media. Gresh Fourier, WEEI on Twitter or X, Gresh and Fourier. Spell the A&D in between our last names when you're getting us on Instagram. We'll talk all the football 2 days before the draft with Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston next.